Well, Kristen, it's day 11 of the protests in Egypt. Millions of people protesting, rallying against President Mubarak. And here you and I are, two film critics. What can we add to the conversation? Do we have anything to contribute to this?
I think we're pretty useless.
I think so, too.
First of all, we're living in a very cushy, nice world where we don't have to think about things like a president who's been in power for 30 years.
Yes, in a continual state of emergency.
Yeah,
yes.
We're very, very lucky to live in the circumstances that we live in.
Indeed we are.
And so I would venture to say that any advice we have to offer is pretty fluffy and useless.
That's entertainment journalism for you.
Yeah. But that being said, let's try our best, shall we?
I think that's a good idea.
What little we have to offer, let's try to offer it, which
right.
is moral support. And in the case of you and me, moral support comes in the form of movie advice.
Movie advice, yes.
Yes.
All right.
So I've put together a little list of movies that I think are full of the revolutionary spirit.
Okay. All right. As have I.
Excellent. And I think we should just go through them and talk about why they're each important. But before we do that, let me introduce myself. This is Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday, and this is Movie Date. You say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world.
Now, let's just reiterate that we obviously aren't revolutionaries ourselves.
No.
Know that much about revolutions.
No, no. I have never lived through an actual revolution on my own soil. That's true.
Neither have I. I did go to college, though, and there were revolutionaries on campus.
Oh, yes, yes.
You know, they wore shirts that said Che on them.
Yes.
Or just had Che on them. And,
right.
You know.
Right, right.
That's the closest I've come to revolution.
I was punk rock. Does that count? Does that count as revolution?
I don't think so.
No, okay. All right. Felt like it at the time.
Well, you know what? That might lead me into my first movie on my list, actually.
Okay, let's hear it.
So the first movie on my list and the lesson of this movie, the reason I chose this movie is you don't want a revolution to be exclusively about your own power or image. In the end, it works best if people feel empowered and make their own change.
Yes.
And that might include punk people.
Okay.
Because the movie is Pump Up the Volume.
Oh, good.
Christian Slater and Samantha Mathis, 1990. Did you ever see that movie?
Of course I did.
Oh, my God. I loved it.
See, there's the age difference between you and I. Periodically, this movie comes up because I have a friend who is also, like you, a few years younger than I am. And Pump Up the Volume is one of his favorite movies. And to me, it just felt like the last gasp of the teen flick. It just felt like a John Hughes latecomer. I couldn't buy it. I thought his musical choices were generally awful. The whole idea
what,
of the
Pixies, Leonard
well,
Cohen.
Well, not
are
the
you
Pixies,
serious?
Leonard. I agree. The Pixies song was a great one, but I didn't buy the fact that he was a Leonard Cohen fan in any way. And I actually was a Leonard Cohen fan, so I felt very insulted by that. But you're right. It is a revolutionary movie, and teen movies always have some kind of often have a real kind of revolutionary spirit to them.
Yeah, and this is a movie about. He just starts a pirate radio station.
Mm-hmm.
He's making observations about his community, about his high school,
right.
about things that are totally unfair, about the ways that the testing system, like
testing.
Everything from SAT tests to how people are marginalized based on what clothes they can afford to wear.
And if you're a teenager, these really are meat and potatoes issues. That's true.
Yeah. And so he really is trying to speak out against the system, and he becomes a great hero to a lot of people. But in the end, he becomes almost a fallen hero by the end of the movie. But,
yeah, that's right.
But enough people are inspired by him that in the end, pirate radio stations start all over America.
That's right. That's right.
It's not just about his image and his power. It's about inspiring enough other people
and then the
to
internet,
take up arms.
Then the internet came along and just killed the entire pirate radio idea.
Oh, man.
Bummer. That's what happens with a revolution. Nothing dates faster than a revolution, let me tell you.
Well, what's a revolutionary film on your list?
Well, somewhat by the same token, although a little bit different, another youthful teen film, the old British film with Malcolm McDowell, Lindsay Anderson directing. It's the first of a trilogy. And If was a kind of a revolutionary film at its time as well. I'm not sure if it was 67 or 68 now that I think about it, but it was somewhere in there, late 60s, and, you know, which was a very revolutionary time, right? And the film is about essentially a group of school kids in a, well, you know, late teens, I think, school kids at a boarding school in England. You know, you couldn't hope for a better analogy to tyranny, right? They're being caned, you know, all the time.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's very serious. And, you know, at the end, the teenagers don't just revolt or start a pirate radio station. They actually take up guns and mow down their headmasters with machine guns.
Oh,
and it's this incredible spasm of violence at the end of the film that's really – and it's shot in this very realistic, brutal, sort of detached way. And the kids seem very brutal and detached about it. And it's really interesting because I feel like it really – it somehow goes to both the – empowerment and the disempowerment of a revolution. It sort of illustrates both the freedom and the dark side of that freedom in a way. It's a very interesting film.
I have to see that. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's really good. It's a minor classic, I would say, but it's really, really good film and really interesting. Well, and I don't mean to be negative. I don't want to draw any lines between that and the Egyptians that are rallying. But it did come to my mind as one of the more realistic, even though it's obviously fictional and kind of a fable. It somehow captures in a very realistic way the dangers of a revolution, I think.
Yeah, and I think those are some of the most interesting revolutionary stories rather than just showing, look, we did it. You know, I think a better story is much more nuanced and complicated and shows corruption and so on, which is one reason I really like Dr. Zhivago.
Dr. Zhivago. Uh-huh.
Did you ever see that?
You know what? I have never seen Dr. Zhivago.
Oh. You've got to see this reefer.
I know. It's a real gap in my knowledge.
If you ever have 14 hours to spare.
That's the problem. I remember being a kid. As a kid, Dr. Zhivago would come on television and all the adults would say, oh, Dr. Zhivago. And the women would begin crying all over again. But nobody would ever go sit down because no one had 3 hours to spare, right?
I think it's longer than 3 hours.
Wow, is it?
It's a really freaking long movie. But,
right. What is the story? What is the story of Dr. Zhivago?
Well, we have Dr. Zhivago, who is a poet. Uh-huh. And a doctor, because
okay.
What greater combination can you have for a Russian romance? And
right.
It takes place during the period of roughly 1912 to 1923.
And that's the Bolshevik Revolution.
Yeah,
then.
we have World War I, we have the Russian Revolution, we have the Russian Civil War, we have all of that all kind of crammed into a few hours. And the characters are all very complicated. Nobody is good or bad. Dr. Zhivago is kind of good, but he's cheating on his wife with Lara, played by Julie Christie.
Right, Lara's theme, right?
Yeah.
The famous, right, of course.
Julie Christie's cheating on her husband, Pasha, Dr. Zhivago. Pasha is the head of a revolution. He's one of the revolutionaries. But you also see that he's very flawed. All the characters are very, very flawed, and the revolutionaries are among the most flawed characters. And what you see are the people who are hurt the most in a revolution are all the people caught in the middle.
That's
so
interesting.
Yeah. So I highly recommend it if you ever have the time.
You know, what's interesting about that, too, is that it seems to me that so many revolutionary films, and I don't mean this necessarily in a bad way. I'm not trying to knock Dr. Zhivago, which I haven't seen. But so many revolutionary films, revolutions are romantic. You know,
and
a lot of time it really is just sort of, you know, just heightened emotion and heightened passions and, you know, people who wouldn't have sex otherwise start to do it. Because,
this goes back to what you were saying about so many of the teenage movies being about revolutions.
Right.
It almost, you know, there's something that it taps into that's the same that a teenage movie would be into, right?
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So what's your next movie?
My next movie would be also Russian, Battleship Potemkin. Which is also about the Bolshevik Revolution, and the movie itself was revolutionary. It revolutionized film editing. It had a whole new approach to film editing, super fast, really interesting. And in many ways, I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's an old silent film.
No, I feel so bad. Your movie suggestions sound great, and I have not seen either of
them. It's really great. It was just at Film Forum in a brand new print. I saw it. It was fantastic. And it's also kind of the godfather to the modern action film. Have you ever heard of the Odessa Steps sequence?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Odessa Steps sequence is this famous sequence with the baby carriage going down the steps in the middle of the firefight. You know, the troops are marching forward. Blah blah blah. Anyway, it's a great film, and one of the things about that movie is the revolution is so. It's basically a piece of propaganda. It's basically a piece of pro-Bolshevik revolutionary propaganda. You know, everyone's comrade. You know, everyone's calling each other comrade, and it's just all about the uprising. It's very quaint. It's so quaint in its approach to the whole idea of revolution, and it really, you almost can't believe looking back at it that anyone ever thought that that's how a revolution would go. You know, so clean, so black and white, you know, so
we're
easy.
We're the good guys. You're the bad guys. Let's overthrow this regime and let's make it happen.
Let's do this thing. You know, it's just that all you really needed was, for instance, for one sailor to die and that the news of his death would sweep through the entire country, move everyone to tears, and everybody would take up their pitchfork and revolt. You know, and it's fascinating to watch for that reason, because it's such a window into such a naive mindset about revolution that I think we've moved beyond. Do you know what I mean?
No, we haven't, because the next movie I'm going to suggest came out within the last decade or so.
Okay.
The Matrix.
Oh, The Matrix.
The Matrix, which I'm literally and figuratively in the film, the characters are just cogs in a machine.
Right.
They make the machine work. They have no freedom. They have nothing of their own independence or lives. They have dreams that they live through while they are supplying the machine with their energies, mm-hmm. and so on. And then Keanu Reeves, his character somehow...
The ultimate revolutionary.
When yes. I think of revolutions, I think about Keanu Reeves.
Yes, you think the first thing you think is Keanu Reeves.
Dude, yeah, I do. So he somehow becomes the leader of this revolution. He breaks free.
He
ends up being the one. And some people have compared this movie very much to, you know, to the Bible, to other parables, to the Buddha.
Well, Jesus was a revolutionary. That's one of the reasons I think we all love Jesus so much, because he was sort of the first. Well, not the first, but he was such a revolutionary, such a seminal revolutionary.
Yeah, absolutely. And Neo in The Matrix definitely is. And, you know, it is kind of a tidy story. Yes, it's three parts long, the whole series.
Right.
But in the end, the worst thing that happens is I think there's some punching during raves and there's like there's shooting a little bit, but mm-hmm. it's a pretty clean fight, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right. Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was also thinking that in some ways, so many the last one on my list would have been Star Wars.
Interesting.
The Rebel Alliance. I mean, who doesn't want to be part of the Rebel Alliance, right? It's the, you know, it's the little guys overthrowing the big guys. It's funny that you see you can look at almost any movie practically, especially when it comes down to sci-fi and fantasy. There's always some kind of revolutionary aspect. I mean, in fact, I was watching, as I'm sure you were, Kristen, Daybreakers with Ethan Hawke, the vampire film. You didn't see that one?
I didn't, I love that you presume I would.
Yeah, well, so it's, you know, it's Ethan Hawke is a vampire in a world of vampires, but he doesn't want to be...
Why haven't I seen this?
Yeah, why haven't you seen this? He doesn't want to be a vampire, and he falls in with a group of revolutionaries, essentially, and they begin working on a vampire cure. They've got this cure, but they can't figure out how to spread it. And the movie ends with essentially an anti-vampire revolution. And in fact, I was going – that made me start thinking about things like Wizard of Oz, right? When Dorothy kills the witch and all the soldiers are suddenly freed, right? All the evil soldiers they bow down to her and they give her the broomstick. They pass the power on to her. Or Chronicles of Narnia, where all the statues come to life at the end, right? There's always this idea of the people – it's this idea of, you know, I once was blind, now I can see, right? They wake up, they come to life, they take over. And you can find that like in almost any movie, really. It's everywhere.
Wow. I'm going to have to rewatch The Triplets of Belleville and have to rewatch the
complicated and Julie and Julia. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm totally going to have to rewatch Julie and Julia. Yeah, definitely.
Well, along with Battleship Potemkin, a classic, and put Daybreakers down on your list there.
I'll put Daybreakers down. Wow. Well, we have a great list here together for,
I think so too,
for our friends overseas right now in the Arab countries who are going through their revolutions, if they can get access to the internet.
If they still have the internet, which we hope they do.
We hope they do. And I'm sure that there's many other revolutionary films out there that we're not even touching on. As you said, The Wizard of Oz, of course, is on the list.
But yes.
There might be many, many others we're not even thinking of.
That's right. Well, power to the people.
Titanic.
Titanic.
If you want to get regular updates from Movie Date or give us suggestions, text the word movies to 69866.
And, Kristen, you can become a fan of Movie Date on Facebook if you want to give us feedback on the podcast or suggest the movies that we should see next.
Excellent.
Sitting around, waiting for a promotion. Don't you